building up a generation. Plant seeds for a new foundation. Take you from rags to riches. Right now, gonna build these bridges. Straight facts, cutting through the airwaves. No limit, making gold from your spare change. Cash flow rolling in like a riptide. Let's go, now's the time. You came for the remedy, leaving a legacy. Real money radio. A future you can hold.
Good morning and welcome to Real Money Radio. Here we are today, going to talk about what don't you know. And actually, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and you'll go to AI to ask the questions, but is it really going to give you the right options? So I am Tanya Escobel. I'm here with my co-host, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are always here to provide education, how to build wealth and how to build residual income, help entrepreneurs with, decisions. And we've talked about your story and my story and how we've always been in a sales role or ownership role. And I think that the biggest thing that I hear from some of our feedback from our listeners is they enjoy the opportunity to learn from us. However, we do have this new generation that thinks, or even us at some point, is AI our answer? So we're going to kind of talk about that today.
Right.
And talk about things that AI cannot represent you with. Everyone's financial DNA is different. That's why you need Roy in your corner. That's why you need Tanya when it comes to real estate in your corner. So you can always go to, Roy, share our website and information.
Yeah, so you can go to realmoney.info, realmoneyradio.info, and you can reach both of us. And, you know, one of the things that we're talking about today is all the different groups of, you know, professionals that you can go to. And one of the number one things that I have come to know, you know, AI is – I use it all the time. I mean, but what I do is I take all of my experience and I've uploaded it and I do all that kind of stuff. And then I ask it questions. And and guess what I find out about my AI buddy?
Right.
It makes mistakes occasionally. And so then,
a lot of times.
Yeah, a lot of times. And so then over a period of time, you correct the mistakes. And the good news is that it listens. You know, like a lot of people don't listen when they make mistakes. You tell them they're going to make mistakes and they don't listen. AI does listen. And eventually you get there. But the one thing that AI doesn't do is what I had an example yesterday. I had a client that one of my advisors called me up and he says, hey, I had a guy that I knew for years. And he called up and he's like, I don't trust this guy that I'm dealing with. And he said, can we meet with him? And immediately we met with him. And you can't add, trust is the foundation of whoever you're working with. And so we met yesterday and we saw some things and we were like, all right, here we go again. We got another insurance guy selling insurance, thinking that insurance is going to solve every problem. And this guy really didn't need it. And so you've got to find trusted
advisors.
You know, that's the starting point that I see.
So. I think a couple of things, sometimes we don't know what we don't know, right? And when I go into, like I did a couple of trainings this last week, actually two different franchise owners, so two different groups of real estate agents. And we did the lender in the hot seat, reality versus AI.
Right.
And literally, I was in the hot seat because I don't know what they're going to ask.
Right, right.
And I'm going to answer it the way that as a professional doing this for over 30-something years is going to answer it and then seeing what AI is going to say. But I pretty much dominated AI.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. I led the charge because, again, what you were just saying is AI only knows the data that's put in there. And I think the biggest thing that the reason I'm passionate about this and the reason I came up with that topic in teaching the real estate field and wanted to bring it up on our show today is just because I think so many people, like I use AI every single day, but I use it more to correct my notes, to correct my edits, to prompt me for ideas, things like that. But when it comes to your financial investment and it comes to your insurance and your stocks and your real estate, AI is not going to know your financial DNA. They're not going to be able to help you with the biggest, you know, the biggest investments that you're going to make in your life. Right. It, that's where it goes back to the professionals. That
we, you know, it's interesting. Back in the early days when I was on the radio, I was telling Mason earlier that Dave Ramsey and I, we cold called 99.7. It was at the rooftop. The 99.7 was in bankruptcy. And it was at the, it was in the rooftop of the Hutton Hotel. Mm-hmm. Now, it was an office building. And went in there one day, and the mic fell right in the middle. I mean, we're talking, and it just fell. You know, it's like everything was...
Dropped the mic, literally.
Yeah, it literally dropped the mic. And but we went in, we started doing live radio. Well, at the time, that was 30 years ago, mm-hmm. all right? And so 30 years ago, you know, I was pretty up to speed. You know, I've been doing the business for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But... we had live questions every day, Monday through Friday, eventually mm-hmm. 3 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And the biggest motivator I had was to be able to know the answers. And yeah. so I would...
So you were on the hot seat every day.
I was on
day.
The hot seat all the time. And what I did is I was reading all the time. Back then, you know, it was books. And, you know, mm-hmm. I got the USA Today money.
You didn't
money.
Have AI to Google no. the question really quick yeah. when the call came
yeah.
in.
Yeah, so I would get USA Today money section. You know, mm-hmm. I always told people that... You know, I, from a business standpoint, I would take the red section and the green section mm-hmm. out of the USA Today. There's four sections. The red section was the sports page. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to, even though I'm working all the time, I wanted to know the World Cup was happening because at the time I was in the world of, you know, wide open.
We won't
working.
Talk about USA.
Yeah,
in the world
yeah. And right so now. I wanted to know what was going on like yeah. that. And then the second thing I wanted to do is know everything about money. And so that was what I read every morning, got delivered to me, and then I read books. And but that's the way you find, and you find professionals mm-hmm. that, like, you've been doing this thing. I could just go in, and I've done this before, and you could do this. I could go in and just give you, I could do show after show after show of the mistakes people make mm-hmm. that come to me wanting mm-hmm. to get them fixed. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, because... They didn't have anybody helping them. And so anyway.
I think it just comes down to, like, knowing that AI is good for certain things. Like, let's just say if I don't want to read a book, I could probably prompt AI and say, rich man, poor dad.
Give me the cliff notes.
Give me the notes without reading the book. What we're trying to focus on today's show is letting you know that when it comes to your actual financial investments and your insurance and your real estate, you've got to work with local professionals. And it kind of goes back to, you know, we had a couple of CEO franchise owners of a couple of RE/MAX offices. Andy Brown was one. Lee Linhart was one that's on here. And they are every single day out in the field. They're coaching. They're negotiating contracts. AI will never take that place, in my
yeah.
opinion.
Yeah.
When you know, it comes to money, if you've got great credit, maybe you hit a button and you get your money, but is it really the best option for you?
Right.
You don't know what you don't know.
Well, you know,
that's
we did
what we're talking about.
We did a lot. You know, as you know, I've had a mortgage license forever, but I don't know everything about the mortgage business. That's not my lane. That's your lane. But one of the things I would see all the time, just on the mortgage back in the refi days, is that people would refinance their house. They would walk out of there paying more mm-hmm. for longer. Mm-hmm. And blow the difference in the payment, mm-hmm. all right? And I was like, that sounds like a great plan. And so one of the things that I did back then is I said, look, why don't we just try, if we're going to refinance, let's set it up to where we don't pay longer. Mm-hmm. And at the very minimum, if you're going to save mm-hmm. the difference, let's set it up and automate it into an investment, mm-hmm. all right? So that was one thing. And then the other thing is we did a lot where we put all the cost into the rate. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get the lowest rate, but they walked out of there owing the same amount of money.
And they didn't add to their principal balance.
Yeah, so they didn't walk out with $310 on a $300,000 mortgage. Yeah. But I saw it all the time. I mean, it was like people would walk in owing $300, walk out owing $310, take the difference in the payment. Mm-hmm. It would go to 30 years again when they had $27, take the difference mm-hmm. in the payment, and guess what they did with it? They blew it. All right, mm-hmm. so the long and short of it is they refied mm-hmm. to do better. And they walked out of there owing $10,000 more and
thought they did better.
And thought they did better. And then they blew the difference. And
because
I was like,
we are so focused on interest rate. We're yeah. not focused on, like, our long-term goal, how long yeah. it takes you to recapture that. I talk to agents and clients every single day about it. They want to look at that internet and they want to see, oh, this lender is offering 5.99. Why are you offering 6.4?
Right.
And how much is it going to cost you?
Yeah, you got to pay 2 points, or you got to do. Yeah. So we ought to talk about that. I think that's, I saw it all the time. It was like, I refinance. Great. Yeah. Really, yeah. You know. And so I tried to advise people, you know, how long do you plan on staying in the house? You're better off paying a higher rate than buying it down. And mm-hmm. if you're not staying, there's just a lot of things like that. And nobody really talks about that unless you have an advisor mm-hmm. doing your mortgage lending.
That's right? The hidden cost of not knowing, basically, is what we're kind of talking about. And I agree with you in that a lot of times when I do refinances, I'm like, don't get so fixed on the rate. But I also recommend 25-year terms, especially if they're only or 2 or 3 years into it. I mean, obviously, if they're 10 years into it, I would recommend a 20-year. But so many people think you have to do a 15 or 30.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And if I'm correct, and you could do a 27. Am I correct? Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Whatever you want to
so
do.
You don't have to add it back.
So if you owe 27 years, you can say, well, I'm going to do 27 again. Yeah. Or I'm going to take the same payment. And what's it going to work out to be? It's going to be a 23. Okay. And, you know, that's just one example of
strategy that you will not get from AI for sure. You want to take us out of
it. Yeah. So today, what we're talking about, I'm going to tell a story when we come back about my move. Okay. And how, you know, hiring people to help you do things and where you stay in your lane. And so this today's show really is about, you know, building your team of trusted advisors. We're going to go through the rest of the segments, and we're going to just talk about all the different people that we have in our life that allow us to make better decisions. So you're listening to Real Money Radio. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. I'm with Tanya Escobel. We are partners in the advisory side of helping you make good money decisions. And we're going to talk now. We had talked early about, you know, putting together, you know, don't depend strictly on AI. You know, use AI to gather data, but you need to get with your different advisors and build your team. And it's kind of like a sports team. You know, I've always built my investment advisory business around a defense and an offense. You know, the defense is to avoid mistakes and protect your income, your assets, and things like that. That's budgets and, you know, all kinds of saying out the wrong kind of debt. And then the offense is you go win. And no championship team has had one player, and they've always had, you know, the supporting role people. And in business, you've got your sales side, your operations, you got your finance people, you got your legal people. And even now, you've got chief technology officers, so mm-hmm. like the five segments. And so that's what we do. We have specialists. And when it comes to your, you know, financial team, what do we do? What are the financial teams?
So our financial team, that was a great way that you described that because, you know, you can't do it on your own. And AI is not going to be your team as professional advisors. So that was a great segue into helping understand and just validating the reason we're having the show today about a financial team, a mortgage advisor. You know, obviously I've done mortgages for over 30 something years. I can give you just a quick example of why you need a mortgage advisor. So I have this lady that relocated in from California, a very wealthy lady, bought homes before, actually owned a home. Home didn't sell. We had to restructure the loan. The negotiations on the home here in Tennessee, which leads to our next financial team person, right. Is a realtor.
Right.
But you've got to have a great realtor. Negotiated. It was a great home. However, it was dated. Let's just say it was dated pretty much. So they negotiated tons of like incentive work or price or incentives for her. So a lot of times, everyone just thinks, what is my rate? Let me get a 30-year fixed.
Right.
This lady actually stepped into home ownership in a different way. She goes, I know that's not going to be my permanent rate. Even though I have the cash flow, I want to save my cash to do my remodel that I want to do. And
not live on boxes. In her case, she was wealthy.
She was wealthy, but she was just like, I talked her off the cliff of the interest rate, right?
Right.
And you know, in our industry anymore, we don't get paid off of quoting a higher rate. Right. That was years ago. Dodd-Frank changed that.
Right. So doesn't matter.
Literally, I'm advising based upon what you're telling me, what you need from a cash flow standpoint. We don't want to touch their stocks and bonds, right? Because you got capital gains and things like that. So let's do less money down. Let's don't get so focused on the rate. Apply that $20,000 that was negotiated by the professional financial team realtor and do it as a cash credit toward your closing costs, because we're going into a market probably next year where rates are going to come down.
Yeah, so you may,
if you would have used that money paying down the rate, you would have lost.
Well, you know, back in the days when we had low rates, I was always advising people, walk out of there owing the same amount of money, you can refinance again.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, I had people do that. And one of the things that I advise right now, and this is going along with the mortgage side, is that, you know, people, one of the biggest things that they have, especially if they bought like 5, 6, 7 years ago, is they got a lot of equity in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And that equity, I call it debt equity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been recommending forever, everyone should have a a second mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be more like
a HELOC.
Yeah. To where you've got a built-in opportunity fund,
mm-hmm.
That you have access to cash, or you've got a built-in emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have people that, you know, I had one yesterday, the house was worth $1 million and they owe $90,000.
Yeah.
Right. And get your equity line of credit set up.
Mm-hmm.
And always do it when you don't need it, because mm-hmm. lenders are funny. They love loaning people money when they don't need it. But if you need it, say you lose a job,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've got a house there. If you don't pay the house payment on a $90,000 mortgage on $1 million home, what happens? You get foreclosed, you know, and you could have that.
Sounds like a good reverse mortgage refinance.
Yeah, it could be. Well, if they're old enough, yeah.
Yeah. That is true if they are old enough.
Yeah, so it's just one of those deals that the mortgage side is a tool. You know, I always have said, you know, right now I have people, had one this week that they were paying down their 2.25, 2.75. They had like the lowest rate, you know, what I think it got down to like 2.6 or something like that. They were right at the very low end. And I said, look, don't do that. This is like golden money. I mean, you can sit in the bank at 3% and get better than paying. And so when you pay off your mortgage, you know, everybody likes to say, oh, my mortgage paid off. And then what do they have to do? They have to go borrow money to get any of the equity out. And so I always tell them, you know, the rate of return you get when you pay your mortgage down is whatever the rate is on the mortgage.
Yeah.
And secondly, the other part of it is that you're taking it from liquid money in your hand
mm-hmm.
and putting it into illiquid money in the mortgage. So
it was kind of interesting. I was doing this training, and one of the real estate agents, and their father is an amazing realtor, moved here from California, has built a great business. It's kind of more in the Williamson County side. And so I asked him, and so this is his son getting into the business, because, you know, my son kind of started in the business, and my daughter said, I want nothing to do with it, and got into event planning, and now she's, like, working, like, crazy hours, and she's, like, 10 years later going, maybe I should have gotten to that real estate mortgage business. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he's very kind of like is it Lucas that's on your team?
Yes. It's my tag guy.
IT, just a brilliant brain when it comes to IT.
Right.
And he's doing real estate. And I was like, do you own a home? He goes, no. I like the stock market better.
Yeah.
And I was like, should you diversify?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know. And I was like, I mean, you're in real estate. And he goes, I know, it sounds really weird. I'm in real estate trying to sell
people
homes.
Maybe he needs
to
come to work with me. Yes.
But that's what's going to lead us into, you know, that other professional side that you need is a financial planner. Because, you know, again, we talk about on the show, you know, you don't learn this in high school. You don't learn it in college. Now people are trying to figure it out through Google or AI.
Right.
And that is where we go back to build your personal advisory board and make sure that you have a good financial team. So we just talked about mortgage advisor, which Tanya Escobel would love to help you with that.
Yeah, Tanya's the one.
Real estate, we have limited. I always refer who I know, I like, and trust. And dealing with 300 and something agents a year, there is less than 10.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
That I know, like, and trust that are full time. You know, I hear so many times, and sometimes I get in trouble because they're like, well, you know, my best friend, she does it part time, or my neighbor down the street does it part time. I'm like, this is your biggest investment. You're going to list this home, or you're going to buy this home with someone that does it part time. Like that's well, not.
And you know, the thing about real estate agents
giving you value when it comes to building your wealth.
There's two. I mean, a real estate agent isn't, if they're doing their job, they're not showing homes. They're negotiating deals for you.
Yes.
And they should be also the type of realtor that understands exit clauses in, you know, when they go in, yeah, and to where if something's going bad, you have, you know, a, what they call them, a weasel clause, where you weasel, mm-hmm, out of the deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you want to have realtors that are looking out for your best interest. And
I think that's a good point that you bring up, because a lot of times people think now, I don't need a realtor. I've found my own home. I've got all the tools, right, online. What you're saying is it's not about showing a home. And what I'm trying to say, but you said it in a much better way, is it's negotiations. And right, I'm seeing realtors out there that are getting $10,000 to $30,000 in incentives or lower sales prices, right, however that consumer wants to do that. And there is, I mean, less than 1%, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
In the nation that knows how to negotiate. Most of them are in that, let me just show you a home, or let, yeah, me just put a sign in the yard.
Right.
But you're right. You're 100% correct.
Yeah, you want to get a realtor that
negotiates.
And I've always said that we should add the name, you know, if you're really in that business, you should add advisor to it in your mind. Mm-hmm. And an advisor asks questions to find out, mm-hmm, you know, what is it, you know, that you really want. And a lot of times, yeah, you don't know exactly,
yeah,
what you want. And so anyway, so
I think it's kind of the same when it goes back to the mortgage side of it too. All you know is, I want a 30-year fixed loan. I want the best rate, but is that really going to be the best thing?
Right.
And we just talked about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are building your personal advisory board right now and your financial team. And we've talked about mortgage, realtor, and how important that is. When we come back, we're going to dive into financial planner. Stay tuned. You're listening to Real Money Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Real Money Radio. I am Tanya Escobel, my co-host Roy Matlock Jr. We're talking today about building a personal financial team for you. If you're just now tuning in, we've been talking about the financial team from a mortgage standpoint, from a real estate standpoint. We're going to move into the other team members that you need just to help protect your money, to help you build wealth. And you know, Roy, you did a great job explaining it, that, you know, in a sports team, you don't just have one person, right? You've got the offense, you've got the defense. And if you don't have that team of professionals put into place, then that is where you can hit those road bumps or that turbulence in your life. And so we're trying just to provide that education around it. And the other thing I think that, you know, most people think, well, I'm just going to go Google it. I'm going to go AI now.
Right.
That's the big hot button with AI. But everyone's financial situation is different. I mean, I gave an example of a client that's, you know, millions of dollars. However, they had the right professional from a real estate standpoint. They ended up letting me help advise them on the mortgage side of it. And we got them off of rate, because everyone just thinks, what's the lowest rate? Where if you go and you pay these permanent discount points or user incentives for permanent discount points to get a 0.25% lower rate, is it really the best thing for in that situation? And so I think it just goes back to advisory. We talked about the real estate side, making sure that your realtor does not just show houses or just list your home.
Right.
It's a negotiator, a master negotiator. And I think that those are things you're not going to get from AI. And we were going to segue into financial planning.
Right.
So for me, I've always been mortgage. Obviously, you know, like I said, I deal with 300 realtors a year on minimum. And my region probably deals with 1,000 realtors per year, but there's probably less than 10 that I know, like, and trust that I would refer to someone.
Right, right.
Because they are the negotiators. They are the planners versus just the part-time people that are jumping in and out of the business. So when it comes to financial planning, that's always been a scary road for me.
Right.
Because I don't know stocks. I don't know how to navigate in that world. And that leads into why you would need a financial team to help you do that, because I was talking to, the realtor that's just now getting in the business. His dad's a realtor, but he's just right. getting into it. He's just like, I just love stocks more than real estate. And I'm like, but diversification is what's going to build you long-term wealth.
Right.
So let's talk about the financial planning side of it. And how do you even begin that? Because what I learned in my old life, till I met you, Roy, was you just sign up for your 401k with your company and you just kind of do your thing. But how do you like start those steps and awareness? Because AI is not gonna be able to analyze your finances. I mean, if you're meeting someone at 30 or someone like me at 55 with a huge medical disaster with my husband, you're gonna be the advisor that's gonna plan around what their lifestyle is, where AI will never be able to do
So when I meet, when I meet with people, the first thing I do is I find out, you know, what's the goal? You know, what's happening in your life? Why did you take the time to come meet? I had a meeting this week with a client that they filled out a form on my website in 2023.
Oh, wow.
All right. They filled out another form in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And we followed up. You know, we have a team that reaches out. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Didn't return our text, email, nothing. You know, the whole deal. And then this time, set his own appointment. And he's like, I need help. All right. And so a lot of times people avoid it.
Took 3 years to get there.
Yeah. And what happens is, the reason that happens is that, you know, I believe this. And anytime you call, if you call any business, if they call you, mm-hmm. whatever, you're in the mortgage business, I'm in the financial advisory business. So people automatically have sales resistance. I don't want to get sold anything. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do is, I've always tried to be the consultant that gives you the answers. And the first thing I tell people is, if you get with what's called a fiduciary in the financial planning side, the fiduciary, for mm-hmm. instance, if you invest money through our with me, we have 9,000 choices. And if I change them or don't change them, it doesn't change my pay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what that means is, there's nothing. I don't have a direction here. I want to push this or push that. And that's why it's so important when you're looking to do something like that. The other thing that I always tell people from a financial planning standpoint, I'm the guy that walks you off the cliff for making bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember being on the radio. I was flying to... So
you're like the life vest, keep them from
making bad decisions. So I was on the airplane coming home from Detroit. And when COVID hit, I then started feeling bad. And at the time, you didn't know, you know, what was going on. And I ate a bite of chocolate ice cream. And I was like, I can't taste this ice cream. I'm going to die. Okay. And so here I am. They shut the airports down. I mean, literally like 2 days later. And I'm just panicked. You know, I'm thinking, literally, I'm going to die. Yeah. All right, I can't taste ice cream. And so.
Was your trust in place? Yeah, was your will in place?
Yeah.
That goes
well, but then what happened is, the stock market dropped about 20%. I took a week and I, you know, stayed away from everybody. And I remember mm-hmm. going over the golf course after I'd, you know, supposedly been 10 days or whatever.
Can't imagine you going to the golf course.
They were like, I told them, I said, yeah, I think I had that COVID. And everybody's like, they're running, like, get away from me. And the test came back and I had it. So I was like one of the first ones. So then the market dropped 20%, and I did a show called How to Handle Declining Markets. And mm-hmm. in the average downtime, if we have, there's a correction that's 10%, mm-hmm. a bear market is 20%. And so we hit the bear market, and I went through all the bear markets
mm-hmm.
and the average rate of return 1 year later is 72% after a 20-year drop. if you're in the market. And so, but that's only if you're in the market. And so my goal back then was to walk people off the cliff. So that way they stay. And then if they really get educated, they're like, hey, this could be an opportunity to on average make 72% because the market's down. I can buy in and stuff like that. But so when
you've got the upside.
Yeah, you got the upside by staying. And so when you're dealing with a financial advisor, one of the things is I always say get the fiduciary. That means, like in the case, if you came to me right now and you're wanting to buy life insurance, we have 40 companies. We put it in there and whatever comes back based on you.
Share with them about the life insurance because I know you have a really good program with that. And that goes back to your financial team and your financial advisory board. You know, I was the old fashioned where they come to your house, you do blood work, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So share with them.
So we, we're an enterprise partner with a AI driven underwriting. And what it does, you know, I see people all the time, you buy term life insurance if you die. And the reason we say if you die, because when you're young and you have a family, you're replacing your income. That's
it's
why
it's not going to be if. We all know it's going to be when.
Yeah. Well, when you die is a different product.
Okay.
And if you die is an unexpected death before you've accumulated wealth.
Got you.
Okay. So to give it the whole idea is this: if you need $100,000 a year, I always tell people it's multiply it times 20. And then if you had 2 million at 5%, that would give you $100,000 a year. So if you had 2 million and you were making $100,000 a year and you lost your income, or you've already got the money saved. But if you don't have any money, you buy term insurance with the idea is you buy that long enough, cheap coverage that pays off. It would pay the money off to your beneficiaries that needed you until you've accumulated enough money. So that's the if you die. And but now, you know, back in the early days, you have to get blood and all that. We have an AI-driven program that can issue up to $2 million of life insurance, and it issues in 10 minutes. You don't have to go through all the hassle. So there's no excuse for people
to not have that protection.
Yeah, to not have that. And the thing about it, it's cheap. You know, $1 million of coverage for somebody in their 30s is around $100 a month.
I know. I think, you know, just you know, I'll be 56 this year. I'll just be transparent about it. And I think what we do is, like, what I think I see a lot of people do is you get up, you go to work. You raise your kids, you go home, go to bed, get up, do the same thing over. If you don't have these protections and you don't have the team around you that is a specialist in each one of these categories, that is where you're going to wake up and be like, I'm out of time.
So let me ask you a question. If someone comes to your place and to get a mortgage and they're credit worthy, what's going to happen?
So the first thing that we will do is.
But no, what's the end result going to happen?
What do you mean? I'll do a discovery call with them.
You're going to get them a mortgage.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen, right?
But I will do a discovery call to figure out what is the best.
You're going to do everything. Yes. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen?
The end of the day, we're going to get them that mortgage.
You're going to get a mortgage.
I guess where I'm going with that is we're not just going to get them a mortgage.
We're going to give them the right mortgage.
Exactly.
All right. So if someone comes to me and they have a need when it comes to finances, when it comes to insurance or investments, guess what's going to happen when it's all said and done?
You're going to get them the right
financing. I'm going to implement that for them. And that's what we do. We're implementers. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, you know, what is the number one mistake people make? Procrastination. Mm-hmm. They never get it done. You come to me.
I'll do it tomorrow. Like your guy, it was 3 years.
You come to me. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to have you putting your money aside every month on a draft into your investment account. And it's going to get done. It's not going to be maybe get done. You come here. You want to get it done. Mm-hmm. You want to get your finances straight. One of the key elements is you get with people that can actually do it for you.
Do you think it's because they're insecure about sharing that data and that information?
Yeah, well, I mean.
And that's why it takes them so long?
It's very similar.
Is it a pride thing,
it's
maybe?
Very similar to walking into the doctor's office and the doc says, what's up? And you're like, figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, no, you tell them, look, I got this problem.
Well,
this
I don't
is
like
what's
going
on.
So that shows the procrastination
there. Yeah, same deal. And so I had a funny story about a doctor. I did a little lunch and learn kind of deal at this doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And the guy told me, he says, yeah, I do my own finances, you know, that kind of stuff. I said, yeah. I said, every time I get a health problem, I just Google and treat myself, you know, same kind of deal.
That is perfect.
And I'm like, yeah, I got you, buddy. You got this all figured out. You're a doctor. You know more about everything on the planet, you know.
That's what I tell one of my buddies. About. You cannot just go to AI and have them figure it out for you. Because that was good. That's a good story for sure. You want to take us out?
Yeah. So this is, you know, today's show is about building an advisory board. And when it comes to your money and, you know, when you think about it, being an advisor, that's the type of thing that you want to do with people that know more than you know. And so today we're building that whole thing. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. I'm here with Tanya Escobel. Stick with us. We got one more segment. We're going to talk about getting your finances fixed.
Welcome back to Real Money Radio. I'm Tanya Escobel here with my co-host Roy Matlock Jr. Today we're talking about building your personal advisory board, what you don't know, and how sometimes AI is not going to be your best team to go to when it comes to some of the biggest decisions in protecting your wealth. So we've talked about mortgage advisory, and you know, everyone just thinks I want the lowest rate, but are you overpaying discount points? My coworker's a realtor, my neighbor down the street's a realtor. They're negotiating whether you're buying or selling. You've got to make sure you have a master negotiator. It's not just showing a house, putting a sign in the yard. We just finished up our segment, Roy, with financial planning and how important it is to make sure that you have that person in your team. I know we've got a short segment. I mean, I think this advisory board financial could be like probably four shows just because it's so important. We talked about procrastination and how sometimes, you know, just looking back, things that, you know, that, you know, I need to do in my own personal life. And, you know, one of the things that we want to advise on too is protecting yourself through estate planning and having a trust, or is it a will? And what would that look like? Because I know everyone will usually just get a mortgage because they think this, they'll just use their realtor friend, they'll just throw in their 401k. We just gave a lot of value. So if you missed that, please go to our website, realmoneyradio.info, and you can hear that segment and other segments that we talk about. I know we've got to jump into CPA, difference with insurance we've touched on. But when it comes to that procrastination and your estate planning, I mean, you can kick the can down a road. You just gave an example of someone just from a financial standpoint did 3 years. But what about, like, what is the percentage, if you know, of people that don't even put a will or
It's about two-thirds of the population have nothing in place. And I always tell people, it's fine. Everybody has a will. It's just whether or not you get to make it yourself. All right. So that's what probate court does. And but a will puts you into probate, whereas a trust avoids probate. So the difference, typically, if your estate goes to probate and there's anything in there, it's about a 5% of your estate by the time you either get the shysters that are trying to rip your estate off or the lawyers that are, you know, involved in it. And so, and it's pretty easy to be able to fix it. And so I always tell people, you should have a living trust. It's called a revocable living trust or a joint revocable living trust. That would be husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And there's two ways to get it.
You don't recommend irrevocable.
Well, the irrevocable would be a secondary. And I, you know, back in the days, like when my father passed away 14 years ago, we took his portion of the money and put it in an irrevocable trust. The reasoning then was the estate tax laws were only $2 million each. So if you had an estate of $5 million, $1 million of it, if you didn't take that first, you could do what's called a marital exemption. So all of you could not settle really any of the money in there at the death of the first person. And then you could eventually, back then you could have had a $5 million estate married and paid $2 million in estate taxes, all right? So we did then an irrevocable trust. But you start with, and that he was the, it went to an irrevocable on his side. So we took his piece of it, stuck it in his name.
So you can overlay it.
There's a lot. Yeah. So, but the idea behind
life insurance in the trust.
So the you do what's called a life insurance trust. Okay. All right. And those are designed to, so if your beneficiary, so if you someone dies and they leave the money to the beneficiary, mm-hmm. it goes into the beneficiary's account. Mm. And then later that could become hit with estate taxes. Mm. So a life insurance trust takes it outside of the estate, and we use a life insurance trust to pay the estate taxes. Okay. Or if, and now, right now, most people don't have estate tax problems with, you know, it's like 27 million married and stuff like that. But back, it was 2 million back, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. when my dad was around. And so one of the things that you want to think about on estate planning is estate planning is designed to protect the effort that you put in your whole life to make sure it goes to the next generation without, right. you know, otherwise it's like you just blew. I mean, it's like there, and there's a lot of ways of doing that. But the main thing with a trust is the first thing you look at the idea is we get everything that doesn't have a beneficiary, life insurance, retirement plan, stuff like that, mm-hmm. we will end up putting in the trust. So the primary thing that goes in the trust is your house. All okay. right. And so that's an easy way there. Then it's called a revocable living trust. What that means is you can change it along the way. Mm-hmm. You have, typically if you're married, you're the trustee of each other's trust. Mm-hmm. You have a successor trustee, which is who takes care of things. So I'll give an example. My mother lived to 102, and she was not making financial decisions or healthcare decisions for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. So we had healthcare power of attorneys medical power of attorney, had the living will. So when my mother was going down, we already had the living will in mm-hmm. place, which made the decision. You have financial power of attorneys built in there. So the good news about a trust, I tell people if you've got stuff that's simple, this is simple. You get, like yours is simple. You get married, you stay married to the same person, you have kids with the same person. Mm-hmm. All right, that's one, mm-hmm. okay? If you have marriage, second marriages, and you've got kids from other marriages, and you've got business partners, and you've got all this kind of stuff, you're probably going to, you need more
Layers of protection.
Yeah, and that's where you get with a trust attorney or something like that. But like, for instance, what we do, if you have what I call simple and we narrow it down, mm-hmm. we have what's called a it's not really doing it yourself, but we have a advisor that mm-hmm. will ask all the questions and get all the forms and get it set up right. But we go through like a will and trust state forms. Rather than going in for something that's simple to, I always say this, you go to, and this is no ding on the good estate planning attorneys, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's so simple, all they're doing is pulling up their Word document, okay, and charging you $5,000. And so you don't need to do that if it's simple. If you have business partners, you know, that's a big deal. You know, a lot of times I've got a client right now where they've been in their construction related to real estate, mm-hmm. they have a bunch of real estate, and they fix the real estate because that's their business anyway. Mm-hmm. But if something happens to one of them, the other one's going to be in business with the spouse, and that's not good. So we do what's called buy-sell agreements, okay. you know, and things like that. So that would be my recommendations on estate planning.
I think that it just goes back to there's so much information that, you know, back to our financial team. And right. making sure that you've got those layers of protection just from, you know, just from our show today, which we just talk real, right? It's what's Real Money Radio.
Right.
I mean, I just learned things from that and that conversation and making sure our last professional, and obviously there could be other professionals, like you said, it could be, you know, the power of attorney for healthcare, things like that.
Right. And let me say something about power of attorney of healthcare. Mm-hmm. If you have a child, I take that back. They're not a child. They're now an adult. Mm-hmm. They're 18.
Adult child.
An adult child that are that's not married. Mm-hmm. You need a power of attorney, healthcare and financial power of attorney. If they're in an accident, you can't make decisions. Okay, yeah. So that's an example of things that going along with that, but.
So we are actually out of time. Like I said, this could probably be
we'll do this next week.
To three shows just because of the value and the importance of it. We didn't touch on a CPA. which I do want to, you know, honor Dr. Friday that's on the show
right.
every Saturday. She's my personal CPA.
Right.
But you've got to have that protection and that financial person, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you want to take us out?
Okay. So you're listening to Real Money Radio. If you heard something today that caught your attention, go to realmoneyradio.info. You can reach both Tanya and myself, and we will be happy to you know, put you on a phone call, see if we can get you pointed in the right direction. We're here every Sunday. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week.